Penguin Random House Audio presents Gather Me, a memoir in praise of the books that saved me. This is the author, Glory Edom. This book is dedicated to my son, Zikomo. My love for you is unconditional. May you always know the power of your voice and story. She is a friend of my mind. She gather me, man. The pieces I am, she gather them and give them back to me in all the right order. It's good, you know, when you got a woman who is a friend of your mind. Toni Morrison, Beloved. Prologue. Davis, Giovanni, West, Brooks, Butler, Lord, Hooks, Adichie, Shange, Kincaid, Hurston, Naylor, Angelo, Bambara, Walker, Hansberry, Morrison, Smith, Sanchez. At the lowest points in my life, the most isolated and difficult times, when I was sad, when I was confused or frozen or drifting or desperate, I reached for a book. When I was joyful, successful, well-nourished, and content, I reached for a book. When the people I depended on disappeared or turned their backs, when I was handed what felt like too much to bear, when I was trying to do right by those I loved, when I was desperately trying to block out the raised voices in the room next to mine, or waiting for an answer that never came, when I needed a word to break the silence that surrounded me, I reached for a book. And when I moved to Brooklyn, ready to start my life fresh, to shake off some hard years and finally figure out who I really was, I reached for a book. Books have been my ladder, my stepping stones, my therapist, my teacher, my medicine, my parents, my religion, my lover, my fool, my instruction manual for life. Words, sentences, pages, and chapters have echoed my loneliness, reflected my joy, guided me to the shadowy corners of my heart and soul that needed to be coaxed into the light, given me strength, helped me grow and change. Books taught me to bloom. Books gave me my direction, my career, my community, my chosen family, my purpose. Strangely enough, though, the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club started not with a book, but with a t-shirt. I have written about this before, but let me embroider upon it a bit now. Tell the parts that I have left out. My partner at the time and I, like so many young romances, had a tempestuous beginning. We met in college, then broke up, then got back together. We were petty and then profound. We argued and made up. We split and broke and then mended things. We flung apart like petals in the wind. And a week or two later, we pulled back into each other's orbit. Sometimes it was my decision. Sometimes it was his. Sometimes we mutually agreed. Sometimes it felt like something beyond our control. We were in one of those more extended breaks when he gave me the shirt. It was my 32nd birthday. I was living in a dusty sublet in Brooklyn that I'd found in a hurry after our breakup, sharing it with two roommates who felt like strangers. And I was feeling very sorry for myself. I had come to Brooklyn 8 years before to find community, stretch my wings to connect with a big, rich new world. Instead, I felt like an outsider, a wallflower, a fraud. Everyone around me seemed to fit in a way that I didn't. And as hard as I tried, I couldn't manage to get their attention. They seemed either actively uninterested in me or simply too busy to bother. I loved to talk, but I had no one to talk to. I felt at ease in a community, but I was isolated and alone. I had left my family behind in D.C., and I was expecting a miserable, lonely birthday. Instead, a gift was delivered. A little package from my ex, with a stack of my favorite magazines on the top and a chocolate brown t-shirt on the bottom. The shirt said Well-Read Black Girl in large letters and Erudita Buella Afrique, 1222, my birthday, in smaller ones. And in the middle, there was an emblem, a crest of sorts, consisting of an open book, a crown, and a laurel wreath. This was encircled by the names of all my favorite authors: Davis, Giovanni, West, Brooks, Butler, Lord, Hooks, Adichie, Shange, Kincaid, Hurston, Naylor, Angelo, Bambara, Walker, Hansberry, Morrison, Smith, Sanchez. Chant those names out loud, and you have something that feels as powerful as any prayer. The shirt was magic, but probably not in the way you are thinking. Though my ex and I did reunite soon after, the shirt didn't really fix anything between us. It didn't cast a spell that created a traditional happily ever after. We continued our on-again, off-again relationship for some years more. We continued to fight and make up. We continued to push and pull. We had a child together, our beloved son, Zikomo, who, it seems to me now, was the true reason we were initially brought together. We tried to make it work, until it simply didn't anymore. This is a love story, but it is not that kind of love story. Listener, I kept the shirt, but not the man. The first year after I received the shirt, I wore it often. Every time I slipped it onto my skin, it worked its magic. Suddenly people, these same New Yorkers who had been gazing straight past me for what felt like months, stopped and smiled and talked to me. They would glance over at me on the subway or in a line at the bodega and ask where I got the t-shirt, what it meant. And then the best thing of all started to happen. People started talking to me about books, their favorite authors, their favorite stories. They'd ask me who I loved and what I recommended. They'd quote lines of poetry and remember a fairy tale their mother had read to them when they were young. They talked about their beloved high school teachers or lit professors in college. They would connect with me in the most enthusiastic and joyful way. Suddenly, I understood how I would find my people, my community, how I could build fellowship and make those connections I had been longing for. I would create a book club, the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club, and books would save me again. I have a prayer that I say to myself on an almost daily basis. God, help me suspend my disbelief. Even now, all those years later, I sometimes think, what is happening? How did I get this lucky? How am I doing this? How can this be my life? This grace was not something I planned on or anticipated. For much of my childhood and young adulthood, I struggled. I struggled with loss, and I struggled with fear. And I struggled with the fact that my family needed me. Not just in the usual way, but as a primary caretaker and a breadwinner as well. I had been asked to punch above my weight since I was 13 years old, and we were essentially transient by the time I was 18. Growing up, I learned to keep secrets. I learned to clutch the hard, shadowy, shameful things about my family close to my chest, where I thought no one could ever see them, where they slowly dripped and leaked and corroded my heart with their poison. But Well-Read Black Girl taught me to open my hands and loosen my tongue, to say those secrets out loud. It taught me to reframe my childhood, to acknowledge the pain, but also remember the other, safer world I built for myself out of paper and ink. The world that allowed me to survive, to ask for help when I needed it the most. As a daughter, sister, mother, and friend, my faithful community of dedicated readers and exceptional writers have served as a beacon of light, providing me with a sanctuary where I can show up as myself, reflect, and heal. When you're in a situation where your household is uncertain or traumatic, when you are lonely and stuck, when you learn the hard way that things could certainly always get worse, because they often do.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?